back in the before time, before COVID, that would BC mean? No. Back in the before time, we used to travel. Maybe some of you have had the opportunity to travel since COVID, but we as a family have not traveled since COVID. Back in the before time, we traveled to Cuba, and it was a wonderful time together as a family. And while we were there, we had the opportunity to visit the tip of the Cayo Santa Maria archipelago, where there was a beautiful 880-acre nature preserve. But without our leader, a local biologist, we would have missed all the, well, maybe not all, most of the amazing details. The Cuban annul, which was a green annul, except when you looked at it, it was brown. I would never have known it was a green annul without a good leader to tell me. There were painted snails and a bat cave and the foundation of an old home and a story that went with it. We would have also missed the bigger picture, the four changing microclimates on our walk, the changes in habitat over the years. And certainly without our leader, we would have missed our destination, which was a pristine white sand beach. We would have never made it without a guide. Also, we would have never found our way back through the swamp to our ride home. We'd still be out there. A good leader can paint a picture for us of where we're headed in a way that makes trekking through sand and swamp and mosquitoes and heat worthwhile. Along the way, relationship is built so that when challenges come up, there is already trust there. Our story today from Scripture is the story of Abram and Sarai. They are one of the great families of faith. Their very human experience of being in relationship with God and in the circumstances of their own lives shows us what it's like to be people of faith on a journey. It's a great story for us to sit with. Now, early in their journey, back a few chapters before where we settle in today, God calls them to leave the land that they've known and travel. And their whole family travels with them and they get, so far. Like, imagine traveling from maybe New York City with all its ta-da to Toronto. Woo! And most of the family gets as far as Toronto and they're like, that's it, we're going no further. That's as far away from civilization as we want to be. But Abram and Sarai continue their journey through the desert to Shechem, to Egypt, to Bethel, and eventually they settle in Hebron, also known as a place of comfort. Each of them, Abram and Sarai, had to explore their relationship with God and work out their own faith. Now, the way the Old Testament is written, it sounds like this is just the story of Abram, but it's not. Often the stories of women in Scripture are sort of between the lines. They're there. We just have to pay attention for them. All along the way, both of them had to experience connection with God. The way God spoke to them individually, the way God painted a picture of their future, the way God led them through conversations, visions, mentors, and practices of repair. Now, what can we notice about God's leadership to Abram and Sarai in Genesis 15? As a good and kind leader, God speaks to Abram and Sarai clearly and invites them to not be afraid. Now, there's a classic line in Scripture, isn't it? Do not be afraid. Every 365 times. I don't know who took the time to count that up, to measure it out, but it's there. At least one time for every day of the year. God says, don't be afraid. And yet, so often we notice fear. When we notice fear, it is possible for us to leave that fear behind and step one step at a time toward the truth that God is our protector and our provider. Now, as we read this story in Genesis 15, it seems like it's one thing and then another and then another, and they all come in this like tickety-boo order. And yet, what I know, living a life of faith, and from having spent time in scriptural stories, is I think there are parts that are missing. Like there might be some days or years in between, because that's my experience of faith. From one conversation with God to another, bringing in a conversation with another trusted companion, there's time and spaciousness in between. Fear is a normal human reaction. We can acknowledge its existence and take it as a flag. I think our emotions are great flags that inform us, make us aware of all sorts of things. Fear makes us aware of our uncertainty. It calls us into conversation with God and into conversation with another human being who we can trust to be with us on our journey. Now, conversation with God, that's another way of saying prayer. Prayer is conversation with God. It's not just repeating things that other people have said before. Sometimes we need that as a starting place, but it's that conversation with God. As a good and kind leader, God says, don't be afraid, but then God also points to something in real life that can be an anchor for Abram and Sarah's experience of hearing a promise from God. God says, look at the stars, count them if you can. Your descendants will also be a number too high to count. The text says to us that Abram believed, and God declared Abram to be right with God. Now that's a repeated story in Scripture and in the lives of people of faith through the centuries. There's movement and uncertainty, there are promises, and there are times of paralysis. There's a lived experience of relationship with God that becomes blessing and rightness with God. There are times when the stars that showed the vision of the future are hidden by the full light of day. We can only see one star out there right now. And if it was cloudy, we wouldn't even be able to see it. God, as our good leader, can keep on pointing out those anchors to us again and again, reminding us of what's true, even when we can't see that truth. So I wonder, have you ever experienced God speaking to you? Have you not noticed God anchoring God's promise to you in real life ways? A few weeks ago, I was working with a young person. Now, this has changed, right? The people who I think of as young people. I was working with a young person who is in their 40s. I'm still in my 40s, too, but they seem young to me. A young person who spent their whole life in the church. From a little child, they were raised in the church. And after years of ordained ministry, they were able to ask themselves the question, do I really know what it means to pray? Now, this is a person whose prayer experience, church experience currently, is in a stream of the Christian tradition where they meet daily to pray as a community. And still, this person was asking the question, do I know what it means to pray? So the very next day, after this question came into this person's being, they came to meet me for a spiritual direction session. And the Spirit led us in the conversation. That is really the goal. The whole point of spiritual direction is for the spiritual director and the directee to sit and listen together to what the Spirit is leading. Without me knowing that that question was stirring under the surface, we were able to follow the Spirit's leading to a prayer of sacred imagination, where this person who was with me walked down a dusty road with Jesus, from far off, actually, watching Jesus walk up there, and seeing Jesus turn round to face them and call them in close. Come close. I love to be with you. And they could have a conversation back and forth. So often in our prayers, it can feel like we're just saying things into the close and holy darkness, maybe. But prayer is that conversation back and forth. In the process of that prayer, this person heard Jesus speak to them in a personal and loving way. Now, perhaps you also have had an experience of hearing Jesus speak to you in a personal and loving way. Perhaps God has made a promise to you. God wants to speak love to you. God wants to be in relationship with you. Perhaps the promises that God has made, those promises of relationship or blessing or provision, seem to you like the seeds we planted with the children this morning, tucked in underneath the soil. And maybe it feels like nothing's happening yet. I can't see anything. Abram was 75 before God even made the first promise of his own child. The original context, maybe, of what you've heard from God, maybe God speaks words to you through Scripture or through hearing someone else's story, and you wonder, are those words for me too? Maybe. Maybe the original context is someone else's story, but the Spirit can make them fresh and alive and original to you. When you carry those experiences of hearing the life-giving Spirit into conversation with a spiritual companion, maybe you have a spiritual director, maybe you just have a friend who you love to speak to about your relationship with God, when you carry those things into that conversation with another human being, we can actually affirm that what we're hearing is God speaking to us. And maybe there are parts that need a little correction. Here we are, human. If we don't speak them out loud, using our actual vocal cords to thank God for speaking to us, then everything gets stuck in our heads in a crazy twist. Even with promises from God, the journey of life does have twists and turns and ups and downs. Do you ever worry? Yeah, me, I do. Do you ever feel afraid? Yeah, me too. Do you ever accuse yourself of not having done things right, and maybe that's why the promise of God isn't coming to my life today? Yeah, I've been there. When we can admit the truth of our worry and our fear, of our self-accusations or our blame of other people, and carry those into conversation with God and a companion, we are able to step through the fear. And I think we step through fear into doubt. Now, some of us worry about having doubts, but I think doubt is a step forward from fear, actually, because fear is just paralyzing. But we step through fear into doubt, where we can admit, I'm not sure. And when we can say, I'm not sure, then God can bring a companion alongside us and we can step through doubt into faith, which is the belief in what we have not yet seen. Thank you for teaching us a brand new song that helps us to carry those words of Scripture in our hearts this week. Faith is the assurance of things we have not yet seen. That's what faith is. Faith isn't a bunch of certainty. If what we're looking for is certainty, that's something else. Faith is that relationship with God. Now, there will be times in our relationship of faith where the intruder, the accuser of the faithful, the interrupter, will seek to destroy the connection and the sweetness that you share with God. Don't take the bait. Seeds of promises have been planted in you, even if you can't yet see the results. When fear seeks to monopolize your conversation, often it does in my mind anyway, turn instead to a conversation with God and with a companion. Yesterday, like not even 24 hours ago, when fear wanted to have all the words in the fight in my mind, I turned that prayer into vacuuming and washing the floors, into writing out some of the book of James. I highly recommend the book of James. It's nourishment for our spiritual souls. I turned towards conversation with a mentor. God's promises may appear to be slow in coming, but the seeds of promise that have been planted in your soul soil have sprouted and grown. Perhaps like the millions of stars in the sky, in the middle of the day, you can't yet see them. And yet I invite you to relax into the relationship of faith and love that God is offering you. Eat the spiritual food of connection, confession, courage, and community. Speak out loud, using your vocal cords, the truth of your lived experience of faith. Engage your mouth and say, "Thank you, God." And have God, your kind, strong leader, declare you right with God. That's all it takes. "Thank you, God." And God says, "You're right with me." That's how you're right with me. We just say thank you.